recently. She spoke at the YDI meeting in Indiana, and I had her, I had her lead on my computer, and I listened to it one night, and I just, something in this woman just sparked me, just caught me. And, like, I had stayed awake till, like, 1 in the morning listening to her because, like, I couldn't fall asleep. I wanted to hear what she had to say. And we got canceled on, you know, stuff happens, and we called her at the last minute, and, you know, she was more than happy to come out here and help us out, so we had an opening speaker for the retreat. So with that, I'd like to introduce, from the Pioneer Group of NA in the South Hills area, Monica P.
Hi, everybody. I'm Monica Marie, Covering Addicts. I'd love to pray, if we could just pray for a second. God, to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. So glad to be here. So nervous. I'm really glad that it's dark. I don't know why. I just feel a little more comfortable knowing that it's dark, because I broke out really bad this week, and so I was like trying. I was doing everything I possibly could so that you wouldn't see these on my face. So it really doesn't matter because you can't see them. So it's good. I haven't been here in a really long time, and it is so different. I think it's either that my brain is just totally shot, and I just really have a bad memory from all those years of using, or it's just been a while. It's been 13 years since I've been here, and everything just looks so different. Nothing here looks familiar. I'm embarrassed to say it's been that long since I've been to this retreat because... I had like 28 days, maybe 29 days clean when I was here, and I came here by myself, and it really wasn't that big. I can't really remember too much about it, but what I remember is I came alone, and I didn't know anybody in Narcotics Anonymous, and I came here because I was told that, you know, this is the place to go, and I loved camping, and you know, something really magical happened that weekend. I don't know if some of you remember John Lee. He was the Sunday morning spiritual speaker. And, you know, I wasn't able to cry at all, really, when I was in rehab or treatment, and I really wasn't in touch with feelings too much other than, like, anger. And my heart and my spirit was able to open up after I heard his message, and he talked about this butterfly. And if you walk in my house now, there's this, like, 15-foot-long butterfly in my house carved out of this wood, and it's pretty amazing because it's just so symbolic. So I am a little embarrassed to say it's been so many years since I've been here, and I go to other retreats, and I'm going to really make a very strong effort because I just felt so much love and unity, like, the minute I got here. And I'm not able to stay tonight, which... I have to admit, like, I was jealous. Like, I saw you guys camping. I'm a huge camper. You know, I love tents. I love getting dirty and, you know, not going number two till you get home. And, like, I love all that. I love it. I love the woods. And, you know, I grew up here, not far from here at Seven Springs. And you know, so, like, some of my roots were here, but I really got clean and moved to Pittsburgh. And, you know, so I do know some people from up around this area, and it's so good to see them. And I usually only see them, like Tim, at retreats or conventions. But, you know, that just reminds me that, you know, this still works. And because sometimes, you know, I go to a couple meetings around my area, and I don't see people that I used to see. And it's all new faces, which is so good. But I need to see my predecessors so bad. I gotta see it, you know, to show me that this still works. So the reason I'm not camping is if my son's his two-year-old birthday party tomorrow, which I am absolutely so excited and thrilled about, and I wouldn't miss it for the world. So that's why I'm not. And maybe we'll come up tomorrow afternoon, but. You know, I was driving here, and I had I had an unexpected stop on the way here from Seven Springs to here, and my best friend died when I had a year clean, and she was like my sister, you know, and I really have not really, I don't think, allowed anyone to come into my life except for maybe my sponsor that I've gotten that close with other than her, and she died when I had a year clean, and that was like, you know, that really rocked my world, but I passed the cemetery, and I put it in reverse, and I flipped a bitch and went back to the cemetery, and I haven't been there in a long time, maybe 5 or 6 years, and I was really sad. I couldn't find her gravesite, and I looked, and I looked, and I knew if I stayed any longer, I would be late, and so I cried. I cried a little bit, because I'm not really into that, like, oh, you can only honor the dead by, you know, going to, because I don't like funeral homes, so very often I won't go, because I just, there's so many sometimes I'd have to call off work, like, I just can't, you know. So, I mean, and I honor her, but she died from this disease. And, you know, just by driving up here and just really thinking about the miracle, like the miracle, you know, of how amazing it is that, you know, we're all here and we survived thus far, you know. And I'm always real in touch with that, and I always want to stay really in touch with that this moment is so precious, and our time here is so precious with one another. And then to get me out of that mood, because I was like, you know, a little bit sad, and I listened to a couple of sad songs, and then I turned the music off. I wanted to meditate and talk with God, and I saw this big, huge billboard, and it was a Miller Lite. I don't know if you've seen it, and it was a real pretty girl, and I don't know what she was doing. Usually you don't know what those really pretty girls are doing. She looked like she was running, and it said, "Save your summer." And I thought, "Save your summer?" And I was like, "How about destroy your fucking life?" You know? I mean, it was so odd. I just saw that, and I got mad at, like, media, you know? Like, save your summer? That would be, like, the worst summer ever. Anyhow, so I had to laugh at that, and I got to just appreciate the beauty, you know, coming up here, and it was cool. I think one of the reasons I didn't really stay in the Seven Springs area when I got clean was because they just didn't want me around, and it was just really best for me to move to Pittsburgh, and that's what I did. But I still feel connected up here. You know, my life was like this. You know, I had the most amazing, loving parents in the whole world. They did the most amazing job that they could. It's my brother and I. He's 5 years older than me, and he also has this disease, and he's pretty far gone. He's pretty far gone, and my mom tonight, it was so funny, she goes, "Why don't you take your brother along?" You know, and I mean, I just thought, and it's so funny, because I lost hope for a second, and I said to her, I go, "Mom, he wouldn't come here if it was the last place in the world." And then I stopped and I thought, and, you know, someone just approached me earlier and they said, "Do you remember me?" And I'm like, kind of, sort of, a little bit. And he goes, "I used to come into your place and your work, and you would try and save me." So I would try and save random people. You know, you have a couple years clean and you think you can save everybody. And, you know, my house became a rehab after a little while. And I don't do that anymore, though. But he's like the one person that I know that I can't save. But I haven't really tried, though, either. It's been probably a good 12 years since I've even mentioned anything. And he never asks, you know. It bothered me when I got in the car tonight, because I said, you know, that's all we need. It's just someone to say, "Hey, do you want to go to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting?" You know, and no one, I don't know when that opens for us, you know what I mean? I never knew that, you know, when my heart was going to open to a new way of life. Basically, it was because I was busted, you know, and I had nowhere to go. You know, my using was this, you know, I grew up like I said, in a really good childhood. I was probably around 10, 11, 12. I don't even know when I picked up cigarettes. And I always say spin the bottle was like my favorite thing to do. I was addicted to that. I would do anything to do that. I would just wanted to kiss boys. And then it escalated to stealing. And then it escalated to, let's all steal our parents' alcohol and meet at this little hut, this little cabin. And we would all puke our brains out, and I hated the way it made me feel. And then here, smoke a joint, and I did that, and I hated the way it made me feel, but I continued. And I wasn't one of those like, oh, I finally found relief, because I didn't feel worthy. I didn't feel loved enough. I didn't feel like I mattered enough in anyone's life, really. I had a very, very long history of depression since I was a really young kid, and I went to a lot of therapy. And when I look back, there wasn't anything to stem it or trigger it. I've tried to figure it out. It wasn't because my dad spanked me. It wasn't because my father left my mother. I mean, there's people that get through that. I just have the gene, and I also have, some depression that's been arrested for quite some time, which is really cool and amazing. If we just allow this process to work and allow God to work miracles in our life. And the drug usage just kept escalating, and it was more frequently, more often, and then it was really when I graduated high school. I managed, and I wasn't searching for drugs in high school. I mean, I really wasn't. There was other highs I liked to do, but it wasn't that. I was really addicted to speed, and I was really into some pretty cool sports, and that really, got me into trouble later in life. Had a couple of really bad ski accidents and some bad motorcycle crashes, because I like to go really fast. And on the way up here, I was going like 100. I mean, there's no reason. I'm a mom now, and I thought about that too on the way up here. But, I ended up leaving high school, graduating high school, and I moved to the beach, and that's where it all started. Day out of high school, I'm moving to the beach, and it was, I was just one of those, I'll try anything, it really bottomed out when I went to college. I went to the University of Utah in Salt Lake because I was a big skier and a ski racer, and when I got out there, I really got myself into some trouble. I hadn't picked up anything too heavy, but I had picked up cocaine out there, and I couldn't stop. I mean, from the minute I started till the day I walked into rehab, I could not stop. And anybody that knows the way that drug works, I mean, there's just, it's like one long day, that just never ends, and it was one long nightmare. I have never and do not recall, euphoric recall. It was crazy from the moment I started till I quit. I have no good memories of using. Maybe that's why it was easy for me to quit. Not easy, but I think after that, initial obsession, like for me to look back and to go back to that hell, because it was hell. At the bitter ends and at the very end. And my addiction wasn't real, real long. I got clean pretty young, my active addiction. But, I had a real bad ski accident, and I had to move back to Pittsburgh. And I'm just realizing that this microphone has nothing to do with how loud you're hearing me. I'm trying to speak into it. I am no louder. Okay. I don't know. Can you guys hear me back there? Okay, good. Okay, because I'm like... oh, God. So, yeah, it was a nightmare. My using was hell. I mean, I ended up smoking crack for a couple of years, and all my dreams were totally, totally washed away from my heart, from my spirit, from my life, everything that was important to me. That time in college, that time in school was really, really precious to me, and that I was gifted to go there, and I just really, really, really screwed up bad. And my brother went to jail when we were out there because he moved out there with me. And he takes some serious guilt for that. And he moved out there with me, and he ended up getting caught and doing, like, 4 years in jail and then going back for another two. So part of me not leaving there right away was because of him, and I was scared to leave him because he was out there, you know, all by himself. And so my disease just progressed, and I came home, and, you know, and I got hooked on some pain medicine from my accidents. But I always went back to the high. I didn't like to go downtown. I like to go uptown, and it was just a disaster. It was a disaster. And, you know, and I always like to believe that I had some kind of relationship with God. You know, there was a time in my life I wanted to be a nun for like 3 years, like 7th through 9th grade. I went to church every day, and I really did. I did. I went to church every single day, and I was really connected with the church. And then I got caught smoking, and the sister, she was like my best friend. I love this lady. And you know what? Have I really gotten rid of this resentment? I don't know, but here's what I know. She was very close to me, and she would attend church with me every single day. And I got caught smoking in school, and she would never talk to me after that. And it damaged me, and I never went back to church since then. And I heard she recently died, and I gotta tell you, I did not feel bad. She made me feel so guilt and shame, and I know that I had a bad experience. But I never went back to church after that. And that's really where a lot of things kind of, you know, started to spiral downward, you know, as far as being promiscuous and just searching, you know what I mean? Searching for love. Because I did find some comfort in church. I did, because I was searching for something, you know. And then when I didn't find it elsewhere, I didn't usually stay too long. And then I'd just find it in this crew of people, you know what I mean? And it just escalated. But, you know, I was brought to my knees basically just by, you know, at the end of the road. I mean, I always say this to remind myself how pathetic I was like hitting the crack pipe, pissing on myself, and not being able to stop long enough to go to the bathroom. You know, I just could not stop. And I had, like, an endless amount for a period of time, which was really scary. You know, I'm really lucky to be here. But, you know, at the end of the road, you know, you're begging somebody for $20, and mom's not letting you in, and no one's feeding you, and it's cold, and you'll play the rehab card. I didn't know what that meant, even. I just said, help me, for the first time. You know, and I had no idea of Narcotics Anonymous. I really didn't. Like, I had heard of AA, but I really, that just, like, I drank every day, but it was like maybe a beer or two, or, you know, or a little bit of champagne. Yeah, that was me. I'd walk into the, you know, filthy crack house with my bottles of champagne. And, you know, thinking, going, oh my God, look at these people. You know, look at these people. That separated me for a little bit. You know what I mean? Because I thought I could sort of hold it together. But, you know, I was so bankrupt and so suicidal, you know, and I always think about this. From the moment I would pick up that drug, I became instantly suicidal. I instantly wanted to blow my brains out. That chase of nothing, it just, you know, and that was not the plan that I had. And so I went into rehab, and I didn't want to stay. I didn't want to stay, but I didn't have anywhere else to go, and I stayed. And you know, I had this gentleman come in and speak to me, and he really spoke to my heart, and really, really spoke to my heart. And Rico, he was from up around here, this area, and I miss him greatly. And that's where this disease takes us, you know. They told me to do it, and I did. I have to say, I bought it like lock, stock, and barrel. You know, because I had no friends, I had no relationships. I had burned every bridge, and like the only people that I had any kind of connection with was anybody in that facility. So I was just going to do everything they said, and they told me, and I didn't know where I was going to live. So that was a problem. they didn't really push the halfway house thing back then, or maybe they did, and I just don't remember or didn't want to hear it, or, you know, and I called Mom, and she was like, click, you know. And I got a sponsor, and I got a home group, and I went to 90 meetings in 90 days. I got on the convention committee. I got an H&I. I had that for like 7 years. I went to a lot of meetings. I never missed, you know, the Laurel Highlands retreat. I dove in, you know. My grandmother let me stay in her house in Pittsburgh, which, you know, I mean, there again, I knew nobody. I had a boyfriend. I had a boyfriend that smoked crack. And that was rough. I spent probably the next 6 years trying to grieve him more than even the drug, because I had to let him go. I had to let him go. It just wasn't going to work. It just was not going to work. I was going to end up using, and I knew what that meant. I knew that because when I use to die. You know, it's like this insane not stopping. Like, you know, anybody that used with me knows. I mean, there's just, they'd be like, no, 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 please, Monica. Like, just slow down. And, I don't ever want to revisit that time in my life, and that's why I'm here tonight, you know. I mean, I could think of other things. I know, actually, that's not true. There isn't anything I'd rather be doing right now, really, and that's the truth, because my heart is here, you know. As soon as I saw the little NA sign to come in here, I felt like home instantly, you know, because I made it my business from early on to know a lot of people, because I have a huge we, and it's big and broad, and I have to have it that way, because, you know, my recovery's brought me a lot of gifts. And I have an amazing life. I got to tell you, like, if it doesn't get any better, I'm okay. You know, and I mean that. I'm not where I want to be financially. But who is? Show me. Raise your hands. I can't even see you. But I'll tell you what. And you know, I mean, there are a couple of my girlfriends that have a lot of time clean, and they're really doing well for themselves. And they're at a place, and they have a lot of years clean, and they are at a place where they're like, it's enough. It's enough. And I'm not there yet, but when I say enough, like, I'm at the place, like, right now where I don't need anything. I have everything I need, you know, and that's only through changing my perspective, which is through working the steps and through realizing that, you know what, like I said earlier, all I have is this moment. And I got to, you know, clean up the wreckage from the past and make sure, you know, that I check myself every morning and get with God and move forward, you know. You know, I mean, some of the gifts of recovery, I opened, I had 2 clothing stores that were really big dreams of mine. I had an art gallery. I have 2 recovery houses. I'm taking my real estate test. You know what I mean? Like, the sky's the limit, and I realize that. Like, there's nothing that I won't do. Like, I have no fear of trying something. And I have, in anything I've done, I haven't failed. I just stopped doing it, you know, and because I wanted to explore a different avenue, or, you know what I mean? Because that's, you know, and it's that kind of like wanting just more for myself. And part of me, you know, my sponsor and I just talked about that. Is it because I'm not satisfied? It, financially, yes, I'm not. I'm not satisfied. I like really nice things, and I'm used to living a certain way. And this has been a little bit of a rough road for me. I'm a single mom, and it's all okay. It is all okay. It was devastating when it happened. Last year, I was like 40 pounds thinner than I am now. Like I was really going through it. It was one of the hardest times in my recovery. I couldn't even eat. And it was all happening with my child's father in Narcotics Anonymous for me to see, you know, with the girls and the using and it was really hard. It was really hard for me to get through it. But the coolest thing is, man, this is why they say, you know, broaden your base, you know what I mean? And my girlfriends would not leave my sight. And I think about that time. It's definitely the hardest time I had in recovery, and I'm still through it. I'm still getting through it, you know, because it's rough, because it happens so suddenly. You have a child with someone, and you plan to have a child with somebody, and yeah, it's been over a year since he's even seen his son, And my son's going to be 2, and, you know, it's rough, man. It's rough. So I'm like, tomorrow, is he going to call? Is he going to, you know, now I don't even care. I don't, you know, because you know what? I just want him to be clean, and that's it. Nothing else matters. So I pray for him, you know what I mean? But it's about that first step and me not in one. It's the hardest thing we do when working that first step is letting go of someone that we love that does not want to be clean. Tell me something that's harder, because I don't know. I had such a hard time in my life, but I'll tell you what, it was the beauty that God just showed me again and again and again that, like, I can get through this, you know, and the lessons that came out because, and I say this because this was so powerful in my healing and getting through to the other side of that situation, you know, was my sponsor. I would call her and say, you know, well, he did this and she did that. And she would say, I will not continue this conversation unless you use I statements. And I would get so angry, you know, because I wanted it to put the blame. But, you know, I signed up for a really disaster situation. I mean, I met him at a correctional facility that I worked at, and he was an inmate. You know, I mean, what did I expect? And this was with a lot of time clean, you know. I wanted to save him, you know. It was like, yeah, that went really south. But you know what? I have the most beautiful son out of it, and I will never regret a day, you know. My son has brought this new life into my spirit. Like, my search for love is over. He gives me every single bit of love that I need, you know, and it is so amazing. Like, we just are so special and tight. Our relationship is just so cool, and he is so funny, and, oh, man, I could talk about him all day. But, you know, I went through something just the other day that was really rough, you know. Like, I wanted to call his father, and I wanted to say, I have this problem, because he's 2, and he wants to climb out of his crib, and, like, the car bed is coming, but it's not here yet. You know, he'll want to sleep in the car bed, but he wants to get out of the crib, and I don't know what's right. And I have a few of my friends that are like, give him a spanking. And, you know, of course, my mom's like, just whack him on the ass, you know. And then I have I don't know what to do. And there was a point where, like, I needed some guidance and direction, and I wasn't getting it from you, you know. But it was really cool. I sat down and I meditated and I talked to God, and I was really frustrated, you know, because he's waking up, getting out of his crib, coming out laughing at me like 20 times till 2 in the morning. You know, and I have to be up for work early, and I'm like, you know, and that was like one of the harder days as a mother, you know. What I have to realize is that, like, everything in life that I do, it's a journey. It's not like the destination, or it's a learning process. And there is no real right and wrong for me, you know, because that gray area and that area that I might trickle into, you know, if I'm open-minded, can teach me so much, so much. You know, my biggest wrongs in here have gotten me, like, the biggest rewards later. You know, there's somebody that I was just not gonna make an amends to, because this person hurt me, and you know, I had put it off for years and years and years, and something just prompted me to pick up the phone, and I did, and it's so cool, and it is so wonderful. And that's why, you know, that ninth step, you know, that eighth and ninth step is real tricky when we're dealing with people that have also harmed us, you know what I mean? You're not ready to make those amends till you're right with yourself. Because I was no longer angry. I couldn't even really remember what I was angry for, and now we're like the best of friends again, and that's really special for me. You know, this program has taught me so much about, like, loving you, and putting me aside for a minute. Like, I just remember so much of my life was just so self-centered. I was so self-seeking, you know. And for me, I have a hard time finding that balance because I like to help, and I have pulled away a little bit as far as, you know, doing so much like sponsorship work. And when I had a kid, I think some of my sponsees just went away. I don't know where they're at, but, you know, and that's okay because, you know, there's definitely some other people that are doing the job, and that's really good. And, but I sponsor some amazing women, and they have some nice clean time, and that's like seeing them as a reward. Like, I can't always see it in me, but seeing them grow is absolutely phenomenal to me. You know, like, one of my girls called me up the other day, and she's been with me from the beginning. She has, like, 10 years clean, and, you know, she was telling me about, you know, this spiritual solution she's looking for, and I'm like, well, why are you calling me? I don't have a solution anymore, you know, and she was like, I knew that's what you were going to say, you know, and I'm like, you know, pray. Call your sponsor and go to a meeting. And that's what my sponsor used to say. Pray, call your sponsor, and go to a meeting. And it was as simple as that, you know what I mean? And sometimes the solution might not be always there in front of me at the moment, but I know one thing. After I do those three things, I feel better. I feel better. And whether it's that my perception has changed or whether it's just that I've been able to find, like, that peace amidst the storm, you know what I mean? Yeah, I'm pretty good at getting to the other side real quick with things, but, you know, like the situation I just talked to you with, because there's a couple people that have heard me just recently speak, and I'm like, you know, I don't want to share about the same stuff, but it's my story, and, you know, and I'm not going to change who I am or what's at the forefront. And ultimately, you give it to God, and I have no responsibility. It's not me. It's not about me, you know. It's about that, you know, I was hopeless. I wanted to die. I was lost. I was suicidal. I haven't felt any of those things, not one of them, since I've been clean. You know, and that's amazing. You know, I was able to go to a world convention here, which was really, really cool and really amazing. And, you know, and I was watching the unity here, just a few people that I was talking to here, and there was that cool unity, and I saw this guy introduce this girl to this other girl and said, oh, she goes to the Monday, or she's looking for a Monday night meeting or something. There's something about that that is so special. And I don't think that we do that in my area anymore. I don't know if it's gotten so big. You know, my home group has so many people now, and man, it is so much about that still suffering addict for me. Do you know what I mean? That, like, no one slips through the cracks. And, you know, on many given days, like, I go to my home group sometimes, just because, like, maybe once every 4 months or something, someone will say, oh, my God, I knew you would be here. It, you know, I just got out of treatment, or, you know, I have a day clean, or, you know, and, like, we don't realize who we impact, you know what I mean? And it's never anything that I say. It's just like a hug, you know what I mean? And nothing I say is unique, or I've all heard it, you know, I've heard it somewhere else, you know what I mean? And it's just like, my stuff is the same. It's the literature, you know what I mean? Because it works, and it's about, let's talk about, you know, how we can work the steps and how we can, you know, find a solution to your problem. You know, I've been able to find amazing forgiveness in here, and empathy and compassion that I never knew that I ever had, you know, which is really, really special. I mean, I was just thinking about some of the rewards, you know. You know, someone just made an amends to me not that long ago that was, it was hard. It was hard because it was completely unexpected. And, of course, I thought it should have been done like 8 years ago, right? And you know what? I'm better with it than I was, but it really shocked me when it first happened. You know, he called me on the phone, and I just was like, maybe not open. And I needed to sit on it a couple days, and I called him back and said, yeah, let's meet for coffee. And we were able to do that, and I was able to forgive him. And you know how I got there? I got there by thinking of all of the crazy shit that I did and all the forgiveness that I've asked God for and I've asked you for and my family. You know, my mom is like, listen, she is the most amazing woman. She is a soldier. She is so strong. Like, I tell her all the time, I want to be like you. I have not raised my voice at my mother since I have been clean, and that is the truth. That's maybe not the first, maybe, I don't know, but it's been a really, really, really long time. I know that maybe my first 30 days, 60 days or something, because they still didn't want me back in their life, but this was a woman, I used to grab her and physically toss her across the room, because she would stand at the door and say, please don't go, please, you know, I feel like I'm hugging you for the last time. And, you know, when I think about that, like, horrific, horrific stuff, and my sponsor just says, pray, go to a meeting and call your sponsor, and yeah, staying clean has a lot more to do than just those things, but that's where it all starts, you know. This is, you know, there came a time when, not that long ago, where I wanted to stop coming, because everywhere I went, the people that hurt me very, very badly were there. And I couldn't get away from it. They were coming to my home group, and I couldn't get away. And, of course, so I started a meeting, and that's what happens. We start a meeting when that happens, you know. And but I kept my home group, and you know, and my sponsor said, you know, just stay, and they'll leave eventually, and that's what happened. And, you know, but I learned, you know, what I learned is such a valuable lesson is that anybody can come to any meeting in Narcotics Anonymous. And, you know, I walked in my home group one day, and I, you know, very shortly, 2 weeks after this whole happened, you know, with my child's father, and there both of the girls were, both of them. I thought, there's a fucking meeting, like, oh, like 2 minutes from here, you know, like, really? You know, and yes, you can go to any meeting, absolutely, but I'm going to tell you one thing. If I know I'm going to harm somebody by coming to their home group because I hurt them greatly, I will not go. I will find another meeting, and that's for me. That's for me, you know, and but I had to get okay with it. And it was real hard for me because what I did was, and I know all you can relate, is that we want to say, screw those people. I'm not like them. I'm different than. I don't need them. They're going to do that shit. I don't need any parts of them. And I looked at you guys as like a whole, that you were all harming me. And my disease was really working on me. And I went like 2 weeks without going to a meeting. And I had, prior to that, I had never went longer than a week. I just have to go to meetings. That's where I get my information. That's where I get my relief. That's where I see my friends. That's where my family is. You know, that's where I get answers and just new information, you know. And, it's, you know, because I'm a lazy literature reader. I'll be honest. Like, I, you know, and that's why I love literature meetings. Our home group has a It Works How and Why meeting that we break up in the back, and I usually go back there, and I love that meeting. Because I need to hear your perspective on literature, because there's so many different angles, you know, and that's another thing my sponsor, you know, with working the steps, you know, she was really big on the dictionary, you know, so my sponsee, she was doing her ninth step, and I said, you know, make sure you take your dictionary on vacation, and she was like, no, I just have my phone, you know, I said, you know what, no, take your dictionary. I don't know why. It was because we didn't have that back then. I was like, no, I want you to take a dictionary, like a book. I don't know. Pretty, like, I don't want there to someday us all be on our iPhones in an NA meeting and no books around. I need to see that, you know. Yeah, I mean, a lot's changed in Narcotics Anonymous since I've been here in the few short years that I have been, but some of the changes I've kind of struggled with, you know, and some of the changes I realized that it's just my... I'm self-righteous, you know, and I think my way's the best. And a cool lesson for me was that, you know, I haven't left my home group since I've been clean. And there's been a lot of times I've wanted to leave because you didn't agree with me, you know. And it taught me to stick and stay and work through things and commitment and, you know, and that's all stuff that helps me with relationships. It's all stuff that helps me in the workplace, you know. You know, I don't like something at work, I'm not going to bail, you know what I mean? I'm not going to leave before I found another job. I'm not going to leave before I look for a spiritual solution. You know, I mean, that's just all stuff that you know, you guys teach me in here. But, you know, the most important thing I can say up here tonight is that, you know, I'm a truly changed person. I have so, so much work to do, and I'm a work in progress. You know, I still talk to my sponsor. I still work the steps. you know, and I don't ever plan on stopping, you know, because I see what happens to people that stop, you know. Like, I mean, you know, there's just something about retreats. And again, I'm feeling jealous again that I'm not camping and listening to the crickets. But, like, I just, trying to get a couple of the girls to come up here with me, you know, would have been like pulling their legs. And I said, I'm not even going to do it, you know, because I'm already going to be up here. And I have a group of friends here, too. You know, but if some people, it just, I have a really hard time trying to convince them that, like, this works. You know, come to a retreat, sleep with the bugs, you know. There's something magical that happens at retreats, and I don't know what it is. And Addie, she was the one that took me under her wing when I got here years ago at this retreat. And, man, she just scooped me up, and we chatted in this bug-infested cabin. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. for hours, and we just talked, and man, that, there's nothing like that therapeutic value. If I know you, I will pull you aside and like, can I talk to you? Something's going on, you know, and that's been the only, you know, real thing that I can say that has truly kept me clean is that I let you people know what's going on with me, you know, because I can't stay silent, man. My head tells me so many crazy stuff. And my anniversary's coming up, August 31st. I'll have 14 years, and you know, it's I almost didn't say it because I didn't want you to clap. And I was like, I don't want them to clap. I don't know what's that clapping. Like sometimes we put so much emphasis on clean time, and I'm no different than anybody here. I got clean young. I stayed clean. I did relapse after 30 days clean. Sometimes I forget to share that for a night. I relapsed for a night, and I went, fuck that. No thanks. You know, but I know one thing. I'm not exempt, and I've wanted to use more in the past year and a half than I have this whole 13 years. So I had to really step it up. And the cool thing was is that I was prepared. And that's what, like, you know, my sponsor tells me is that you've been preparing all these years for this huge storm, you know, and you will get through it. And you know, she allows me. And I have a lot of friends, women friends, with, like, 25, 30 years clean, a lot of them. And some of my girlfriends, you know, they love me because I allow. Like, I'll just bawl my eyes out. You know, when I spoke last week or a couple weeks ago in Indiana, I was so embarrassed because I was, like, crying. And, you know, I didn't cry tonight. I don't know if that's good or bad, but, you know, I'm so blessed to be here. It's only through, you know, it's only through God's love that I'm here. And you know, I'm running out of stuff to say. I hope you guys have a beautiful weekend and just feel the love of the retreat, you know. Thanks so much.